that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 341. It is December the 8th, 2015. Today's verse, coupled with yesterday's verse, spells pretty bad news for man. Flesh is flesh, and there's nothing good in it. I was in the middle of my own story when our time ran out yesterday, talking about a man who was just flesh, who was desperately in need of something else, and God supplied that. I was getting invitations to go to church. I told you about a local church that placed a bag of groceries on our step, and how my parents took me to church, never came back, but I never quit. That's grace. That's grace. They went to the same church. They got the same groceries. But many are called, and few are chosen. I don't say this to disparage my parents, just to say that for God's purposes, God's reasons, His call was upon me, His choosing was upon me. I was still not aware of the forgiveness of my sins because of what I was being taught there. Even though they were saying things, they were telling me the truth. They were leading me to the scriptures and telling me about, but I never got it. You know how that is? You hear a lot of stuff, but you don't get it because the Spirit of God is not mixed with it in some way. I remember going into the ministry of that church, ordained to their ministry. And then I remember studying my Bible and finding some things that they hadn't found, that they hadn't taught me. And I began believing them and teaching them, and they let me go. This is grace also, because I wanted everything that the Word said, and I still do. And if there's something in there that I still don't have, and that a particular group is trying to hold me back from, I don't care about the group. I care about the truth. I was actually fired from the ministry of that church. This led me into a whole wilderness of searching after God. That's grace too. A man who is searching after God is proving that the grace of God is in him. Why would a man search after God if God himself was not drawing him? That's what the scripture says. You can't come to the Lord unless the Lord's drawing you. That's an evidence of grace. But just like in Jesus' time in the wilderness, it was the Spirit of God who led me there. When the find came, and there are still things I am finding, I can never credit my search or my church. I could only credit the movement of the Spirit that caused that search. And then I remember that wonderful night listening to the preacher, expecting nothing in particular. I was a religious person, and I liked religious things, and I liked this particular preacher, and I liked listening to him. And I was listening, and suddenly, got it. I got it. A sorrow for sin that has to be a part of anyone's salvation package, if I may put it that way. A sorrow for sin that arose from deep inside of me. It caused tears to come, many tears. And in that same event, later on, minutes later, a joy, an assurance that God had heard me, that He had forgiven me, that my tears had reached heaven. And there were more tears that came because of that. They were tears of joy, incredible joy that only God can give. And so you see how it works. We want to say it was that woman or that search or that preacher. We have our eyes opened to the great fisher of men who's just caught another one of his chosen. That's the means that he uses to do it. And you wouldn't be aware necessarily of any Calvinistic or Arminian dogma behind all of that. You just wouldn't be aware of any of that. You wouldn't care about any of that until much later when somebody's explaining to you what happened. You don't need to know all that at first. You need to just know that God's after you and you need to respond to him. But it's the God after you part that we're talking about in this whole paper. God coming after depraved men, men who would not have a chance to be saved, that will not have a chance to be saved, unless God himself reaches into their heart, prepares their heart, and makes their heart acceptable and able to turn to him. We couldn't do it before. It's grace that causes all of that to happen. Most of you would agree with that, regardless of which side you're on. And I hate to even talk about sides, for in Christ there are no sides. We're all one people. But I was caught. I had nothing to do with it, ultimately. Nothing to do with it. I was caught. The woman, the preacher, the churches, it just all started coming after me. I loved it to have been raised in a family where there was no love, no acceptance, no life going on at all, and then suddenly to know you're loved. That's why God has a church, and the members of his church, through the Holy Spirit in them, reach out to people, and those people hear it. They hear God. The grace of God comes to them. This is the way of salvation. He initiates, he calls, he provides all along the way. And again, Arminians and Calvinists alike can enjoy this experience. I was an Arminian then, I guess. My church was. And most of my life, until just a few years ago, or a couple of years ago, didn't change the experience at all. And knowing the rest of the story now also doesn't change the experience, but causes me to enjoy it so much more. Let's get back to the scripture. John 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, period. There's a period in there. I agree with that part of the translation the best. Put that period. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, period. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two separate births, both of which you, friend, have nothing to do with. You didn't bring yourself into this world, physically or spiritually. Well, I knelt at the altar and that's what you've got to do. No. Well, I went forward in the crusade. I shook the preacher's hand. I said these words. No, none of that saves. None of that saves. Jesus saves. Let's get back to the basics. Jesus saves. It's the Spirit, according to John 6:63. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. My flesh is corrupt, and I cannot uncorrupt it. And it won't uncorrupt itself. It's going to stay corrupt. It can't give life to itself. It can't give birth to itself. Come on. That's biology, folks. You didn't give birth to yourself. You had nothing to do with it. Well, I cooperate. You did nothing. You were totally out of it. You came in crying, scared. You didn't know what was going on. And many people come into the Lord that way too, crying and all, but happy to be alive. Yeah. Look at Ephesians 2. It's really verses 1 through 5, but just parts of that. You has he brought to life who were dead. It's another analogy. Not only unborn, let's talk about dead. How can you choose God as a dead man? He chooses you first. He gives you life. You just wake up and start crying. As I said, just like the newborn that you are. When we were dead, he made us alive. Ephesians 2, 1 to 5. Sounds like a song I'm writing here. Yeah. Romans 1, through 3. First three chapters of Romans, he traces the history of sin in the world. How it went from bad to worse to utter corruption, both Jew and Gentile, Jew and Gentile. He concludes that only an inward work can save us. And that's because, according to 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's not forget that. It's everybody. But the very next verse states that his grace freely justifies us. What Jesus did saves us from this awful disease. Therefore, verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Can't do anything to get saved. And some people, though, they want to make faith into a work. Well, I believed, after all. I was the one that believed. I did something for me. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Not according to Ephesians 2:8. Now, Ephesians 2:8 shows that same progression of things. For by grace, you are saved through faith. Ah, see? No, here's what the rest of the verse. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, putting Romans and Ephesians together, we see the whole picture. Man is dead in sin. God's grace is revealed in Christ and communicated to the believer whose faith saves him. But is it the believer's innate faith that came from his carnal man? Does that faith originate from within carnal man? We've already concluded that nothing like that is inside of carnal man. Let's take a closer look at Ephesians 2:8. Saved by grace. Grace working through faith. Faith is the means. And then it says, and that, not of yourselves. What? What? What's the that? That not of yourselves. What not of yourselves? Is it grace he's talking about here? That grace not of yourself, well, obviously. Or that salvation is not of yourselves. Well, yeah. Or that faith. Even the faith is not of yourselves. Commentators are all over the map on this one. And there's no way to solve it by that normal appeal to the Greek. Because that, the word that, is neuter. But grace and faith, even salvation, if you want to put that in there, all of those are feminine ideas. They don't connect. There's no easy connection at all. What is the gift of God of which Paul speaks? That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Here's my take. Paul is not saying that grace is the gift of God, I believe. Why? Because grace means gift. He wouldn't repeat himself, in my opinion. Sounds to me like he's revealing an unusual truth here, but one that is consistent with other passages that we will see. Grace works through your faith, but even your faith is not from you. It's God's gift. Hence, salvation is from God from start to finish. That would fit in with the idea of birth that we explained above. There are things over which you, sir, have no control. Conception and birth are two of them. And aren't we glad that it's God who's in charge? Look at Romans 8:8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So how can this fleshly person make a, quote, decision while he's still in the flesh that's going to bring him to heaven? The teaching seems to be that while we were in our sins, he died for us. And while we were in our sins, he gave us life and the ability to reach out to him. It looked like we were making a decision for Christ. If the camera's rolling, they will see your hand go up and you walking down the aisle. But in fact, according to the things that I have found in Scripture and shared some of which already with you, He, God, had already done the choosing. 15 minutes goes pretty fast. We didn't finish depravity yet. How will we ever get? I'm having trouble spelling. I've got to the T and I can't get to the U. I know, Lord willing, we will get to the U tomorrow. Tomorrow, starting with Romans 8:26, you can read ahead of me. Wow. Email me, will you? bob.j.faulkner@gmail.com, or give me a voicemail or text. Don't expect me to pick up the phone because I almost never see my phone ring and I have it on vibrate all the time. 847-852-6873. Voicemail or text. Just ask a question or suggest another topic for study. Hey, this is good. I'm enjoying it. Or just say hi or God bless you, whatever. I love hearing from you. So we'll continue with this, as I said, Lord willing, tomorrow. And remember what we started with today. John 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is, guess what? It's flesh. Amen. Talk to you later.